We're just going to go next door to Connecticut for a quick second for this story because it's absolutely tragic. And while it's not the sole reason why this person went missing and turned up dead, it is something that I think is worth having the conversation again with Gary McNamara, who's one of our law enforcement experts on the show. A 15-year-old boy in New York who went missing nearly 2 months ago was found dead. And in the story, investigators said that there was a connection to Roblox, which we've talked about before. And this is where I wanted Gary to kind of pick up the story because he knows more of the ins and outs of this. But it, again, leads back to a conversation we had earlier this year about the dangers of you know, platforms like Roblox, for example, but really the importance of engaging with your kids and being in the know, especially if they are using online platforms or they're engaging with people they don't know and you're not aware of it. So, Gary, welcome back to the show and talk to us a little bit about this case.
Yeah, so originally, tragically, first of all, it was a 15-year-old boy from Long Island who went missing in January, I think January 9th or 10th of this year. And all the family knew was that he left and was traveling by train to New York City. And he told his family, the only information they had was that he told his family he was going to meet somebody that he connected with on Roblox. And so then he went missing and he never came home. And the family obviously reports him missing and the information about Roblox and somehow connected to Roblox. So the police do an investigation and they research his computers and any contact information that they can. And ultimately, they cannot establish a connection to Roblox itself, that he was ever actually going to meet someone in New York City. But tragically, the last known location was on a walkway in Manhattan, and he ultimately died, and his body was recovered in the water in the East River about 2 months later.
Wow. I mean, I think, though, there are a couple of things from this story that, again, first of all, those poor parents and that family. And this is just a tragedy, as you mentioned, all around, Gary. So I don't want in any way, shape or form for this to sound like we are pointing the finger at who did something wrong. I just think if there's anything I've learned from talking to you and a friendship with you is that when you hear about these stories, it's not enough just to acknowledge, oh, my gosh, what a horrible story, and then move on with your life. What can we learn from it? Right. What can we apply to our lives to avoid something like this happening again? And a couple things stand out to me. Whether or not Roblox was actually, you know, part of basically the demise of this person is, to me, a little bit irrelevant, at least in this conversation, because there are a couple things that stand out. First of all, you're still talking about, what, a sophomore, maybe a junior in high school, and the idea of traveling into New York. And granted, I know everybody has their own you know, what they trust their kids to do or not. But you're talking about a teenager who already says, I met somebody that you don't know who it is, but they met somebody on an online platform and they're going to meet them. And it kind of just was that was sort of it. And I wasn't sure if you had better recommendations for, you know, if and when that conversation comes up with your preteens or teens, you know, hey, I met someone on Roblox, because we continue to see this happen. And what are the appropriate questions or what should we be asking or doing when that comes up?
Well, whether it's, you know, whether this tragedy is online gaming or not, I mean, the lesson really is that the digital world, our kids' digital world and our real world are no longer separate from our kids. And we as parents, I believe, have to understand that the digital world, you know, the real world is a danger at times itself, but the digital world can be such a bigger danger because we don't necessarily have the connection and conversations with our kids. Ultimately, Roblox is really just a computer or social playground where everybody gets together and they kind of can develop gaming and they can meet and they can, you know, form relationships and go offline and then have deeper conversations. And I think that we have to continue to have those conversations that Roblox, or as you're expanding your reach beyond your neighborhood, that there are dangers to it, and we always have to have those conversations. And again, you don't want to blame the parents, but you know, if your kid is saying that, hey, I'm going to meet somebody that I met on Roblox, and you have no idea, you know, parents. I remember growing up, my parents, I'd say I'm going over a friend's house, and they'd ask who, and if they didn't know who they were, they kind of ask a few more questions about it. And that's, I think, something we really have to pay attention to when we start talking about these relationships or this ongoing interaction that our kids have with social media, because we don't really understand it. We don't dive into it deep enough. And we do. And ultimately, Roblox has some safety measures in place, and we know that. We've talked about it before, and we talked about the power of learning what those safety measures are. But it's still our kids, and it's still interactions. Conversations are the most important part of social media interactions with our kids. We have to make sure we always have conversations with our kids so we have a better understanding of where they're at in the social media world.
Well, and you bring up something, you know, I think is important too, Gary, is when you talk about the digital world and our real world being more connected than we may think. You know, it may seem obvious that if your kid is getting picked up or is going to a party or is going to a function, to still call the parents. And maybe that sounds archaic, but I do know of a lot of parents, especially, you know, I'm raising a little one, and a lot of the parents that I talk to are like, yeah, of course I would call to make sure. I'd want to meet the kid, or I'd want to drop my kid off the first time so I could talk to the parent. Like, some of those things are still, I think, relevant today, maybe not as much as they were in the 90s or the 80s or before, but I think to some degree it's relevant. But to your point, the digital world, we don't look at that the same. And it is interesting. And I think a lot of that is because we are not comfortable with the digital world. So because I'm not on Roblox, I didn't grow up being on any online platforms. I mean, gosh, Facebook came out when I was a senior in high school. So I think because our generation and above, we're not comfortable with that world, but our kids only know that world. We sort of almost feel either unworthy, or we don't know how to ask about it or dive into it or check things. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is, but there is this disconnect where we feel like either we keep our kids off of it because that's the safe route, because that's not going to turn them against us. Or we just sort of are like, all right, we just trust them. We're just going to trust that that's totally fine because we don't know enough about it. And I think that's
right.
A problem.
Yeah. Well, that's right. We're at a disadvantage. We're always going to be at a disadvantage. I think parents in general, when raising kids, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. You know, parents are always at a disadvantage because our kids are growing up and interacting with people all the time.
Yeah.
The social media component of it really puts us at a disadvantage because we're not living it every day, and they oftentimes are, and that's going to be the challenge. You can look at all the parent safety things Roblox has, and they do, and other social media platforms have it. But we're always going to be at a disadvantage, and that's why any conversations you can have about this, even this one, where, you know, he was, you know, the word Roblox comes up, at least it's worthy of diving in a little bit more and saying, hey, parent, you know, everybody has to remember that our kids are living in a social media world, sometimes more than in a neighborhood world. And we have to kind of do all we can to have those conversations.
You know, as we talk about Roblox, for example, and just words or phrases or things that stand out, it leads to actually another conversation I wanted to have with Gary McNamara, who's one of our law enforcement experts on the show. You can't overlook the conflict in Iran and what could lead to sort of not normal situations. I don't know if you heard these two situations last week. Gary actually told me about them. I didn't know about them. But there was a shooting that took place at Old Dominion University. And it was a situation where a man who had previously actually done prison time attempting to aid the Islamic State group went through with a shooting. And then there was a second situation in Michigan where a suspect had taken a truck, rammed it into a temple, and the FBI calling it a targeted act of violence against the Jewish community. Now, Gary, I'm not going to say that obviously they're not connected, but I do think when you have these, you know, acts of violence take place and you see what's happening, obviously, on a global scale, the importance of people recognizing when things deviate from what's typically normal, right? I mean, I think we have to kind of lean into that a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I think we absolutely do. And you know, with the Iran conflict, oftentimes all we see on the news, and people are really focused on, you know, when we think of that conflict, we think of missiles and warships and drones. But from a law enforcement standpoint, the bigger concern for law enforcement, obviously, in the United States is this covert activity and this radicalization, and really setting the mindset back to the times, unfortunately, around 9/11. September 11th attack, where we were hyper-focused, where everyone was really hyper-focused on being aware of their surroundings and really reporting those things that deviate from our normal days. And we've talked about them in the past, Melissa, that, you know, you want to make sure that you anything that deviates from your normal day, you kind of report. But if you remember after the September 11th attacks, we were really focused on pay attention to what's going on. If mm-hmm. there's somebody that is taking pictures or testing security measures or spending a lot of time walking around things and looking at cameras or asking questions, those are the kind of things we want everybody to really amp up a little bit and really pay attention to. You know, the drumbeat of see something, say something kind of becomes, you know, just something that's there. But really now, when we look at this conflict, we and these events that occurred, we have to understand that we play an important role in keeping the United States safe and our surroundings safe by really starting to really amp up and pay more attention to our surroundings.
Yeah, I mean, and we ride a fine line, I think, Gary, because let's be honest, we live in a world right now where everybody gets canceled if they say or do the wrong thing. And to some degree, you know, you can understand that we're trying to correct, I think, wrongs of the past, which I think is a good thing. But I also think sometimes we take things to an extreme where we miss it. I mean, so you take the Old Dominion University shooting, which is horrible. I mean, thankfully, you know, there weren't as many casualties as there could have been. But this is a person who was a former member of the Army National Guard. This guy literally went to prison for 8 years attempting to aid the Islamic State group. And he yelled a pretty, I would say, pretty common phrase right before opening fire in the classroom. Like, we've seen this before. And I think when you're talking about something to the point of the conflict in Iran, to not have this person, I don't know if this person was on like a watch list or what. I don't know how this person flew under the radar. But to me, it's like, you've got the record. I feel like the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, and this person got missed somehow when everything erupted in Iran. Like, to me, this would be somebody that you sort of, this guy was literally sold a stolen gun the day before the shooting, or like close to the time of the shooting. I mean, I just, it's shocking to me that we, I don't know, don't lean in, I guess, to what would maybe lean, you know. And again, I understand that not everybody, if you've committed a crime in the past, is going to commit again. I do understand that. But, you know, sometimes the signs are just there and we prefer to just kind of go on about our lives because that's the safer or the less, I would say, the less conflict way of handling things, I guess. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, it does. And I think we're all kind of guilty of, you know, we kind of become relaxed. It's hard to remain hyper-vigilant all the time. And yeah, in that particular case, there was clearly a past and he was being held accountable for it. And there was some indications that he may have been let out, you know, sooner than he expected or what have you. But we become comfortable because we can't be hyper-vigilant all the time. So it's hard to do that. And even if you look at the Michigan synagogue incident where this individual drove a truck into a building where, you know, there was over 140 preschool students and younger children within that building. And if he was able to get out of his vehicle he could have really significantly hurt a lot of people. But we have to be a little more hypervigilant now. In other words, you know, we can look at what we should have been doing or we get comfortable, but really now is the point with this conflict ongoing. We know that there is that potential for either lone wolves, those people that are just radicalized in their own world and they take action and they see that, or whether it's a concerted effort by individuals in Iran that are tactically trying to mobilize to hurt us in the United States. Now is the time we really have to amp up our observation, because we've seen at least these two incidents are just two examples, but we saw an incident last week or last month at a location where an individual was wearing a T-shirt and showed support for, or was radicalized in some way. I don't have all the details on that, but he was certainly wearing a T-shirt to indicate, to your point, whether you say something out loud or whether you do something or you target a location that generally indicates some sort of terrorism connection, you have to start looking at this. These incidents are continuing to rise, and I think a lot of it is based upon this conflict.
Yeah, definitely leaning into that and just not overlooking what, again, just seems not normal. Gary, always appreciate having you on the show. Thank you so much. And we'll certainly talk again really soon.